Israel is under attack. Just the announcement was enough to heavy our hearts. Perhaps you, like I, have been following the news reports. Over 1,300 Jews killed on the very first day of October 7. Similar number of fatalities among Palestinians. Barbaric acts by the Hamas, massacring children and elderly. Nearly 300 people taken hostage. Innocent Palestinians trapped in siege-weary Gaza. In fact, over 10,000 have been killed already in Gaza. Skirmishes in northern Israel with Hezbollah. Missiles streaking the Israeli sky. Iran suspected as complicit in all the attacks. Jesus told us that this would happen. Matthew 24, 6 and 7, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Over the past 3,400 years of recorded history, humans have been at war for most of them, in fact, war-free for only 268 years, 8%. Max Lucado comments, Cain was violent first. We are violent still. Yet in the last few decades, the world has seen violence escalate to new heights, new levels. The phrase nation against nation and kingdom against kingdom is a Hebrew idiom for a world war, a global conflict as a signal of the coming of this age. Have we seen this? Yes. Twice in the last century, the conflict was so universal that it earned the phrase world war. More people died from war in the 20th century than in all the other centuries combined. So we live in ever-present fear of worldwide destruction. Let one person somewhere press a button and nuclear disaster could happen. Russia invaded Ukraine. China is threatening Taiwan. Israel feels pinched by the Hamas to the south and the Hezbollah to the north. I don't have the national security clearance I did have when I was stationed at West Point during my U.S. Army days, but I can Google, just Google, how many nations have nuclear weapons? The answer, 9. The warheads on just one U.S. nuclear-armed submarine have 7 times the destructive power of all the bombs dropped during World War II, including the 2 atomic bombs dropped on Japan. The internet is just full of good news, isn't it? I actually do have some good news, great news. Here it is. Jesus, the one who warned of these days, will deliver us from these days. The birth pains will continue. The frequency of deception and division will increase. But Jesus will protect us until he comes, and he'll deliver us once he comes. And for that reason, Jesus spoke that phrase, "See to it that you be not troubled." Well, how can we do this? Well, first of all, make sure that you are saved. Jesus Christ died on the cross for sinners like you and me. He does not want anyone to be lost, but he wants all people to change their hearts and lives. 2 Peter 3:9. Have you surrendered your heart to him? If not, do so. He loves you. You were not made to experience the coming chaos. Naturally, believe we are nearing the end. You do not want to face the final hours without the Savior. Ask him to forgive you. Ask him to be your Redeemer. Romans 10:13, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. My own salvation experience came at an Awana camp in Wisconsin. It was the summer of 46. My family was on furlough from Africa. I was 10. We were sitting around a campfire listening to a counselor bring a gospel message. And as I watched the flickering flames and the burning embers, I realized that I was a sinner. God spoke to my heart. It didn't matter that my parents were missionaries and served the Lord. I had to come to the cross personally and seek forgiveness from a Jesus who loved me and from who wanted me to follow him as Lord and Savior. If you know the Lord, you must have a place like that, like Jacob's Bethel. So thank God for your Bethel. And second, pray for Israel, as Mark led us this morning. Pray for peace in Jerusalem, Psalm 122, verse 6. Israel's special to God by covenant. Jesus was born there, he died there, he rose from and will return there. It's no wonder that the tiny nation of Israel has been the most disputed land in history. It's the staging ground for God's story of salvation. So pray urgently for the nation of Israel. And third, don't panic. Don't let the chaos weigh you down. Hold on. Hang tight. Hold fast to scriptures. There's a great one in Psalm 37, beginning at verse 7. Wait and trust the Lord. Don't get angry. Don't be upset. It only leads to trouble. Evil people will be sent away, but those who trust the Lord shall inherit the land. In a little while, the wicked will be no more. You may look for them, but they'll be gone, and people who are not proud will inherit the land and will enjoy complete peace. The wicked make evil plans against good people. They grind their teeth at them in anger. But the Lord laughs at the wicked because he sees that their day is coming. See to it that you're not be troubled. Jesus told us that, so let's do it. We are to get right with God. Pray for Israel. Don't panic. God is still on the throne. Colleen Swindoll Thompson says that through all of this, she is determined to exhibit a personal and persistent attitude of praise. She writes down three praiseworthy examples each day. In an Insight for Living article, she expresses this. Now wait, this is not a guilt session. God in his grace is very patient with us. As believers who walk in relationship with him, we should expect to see some positive growth and outworking of our faith in our lives. It's in that spirit that we aim for an attitude of praise. This is the season to take some time for an attitude check. Consider these questions, she writes. In what areas of your life has your attitude helped you make a significant contribution? Have you found your attitude revealing areas of pride or criticism or anxiety or bitterness or resentment, anger? What about evidences of personal Christian growth displayed by an attitude of thankfulness, authenticity, acceptance, peace, humility, a genuine care for others? Listen to these lyrics from an old Thanksgiving hymn. It was titled Thanks to God, and it was penned by August Ludwig Storm. At age 32, he became painfully disabled until his death 16 years later. Thanks to God for my Redeemer. Thanks for all thou dost provide. Thanks for times, now but a memory. Thanks for Jesus by my side. Thanks for pleasant, balmy springtime. Thanks for dark and stormy fall. Thanks for tears, by now forgotten. Thanks for peace within my soul. Thanks for prayers thou hast answered. Thanks for what thou dost deny. Thanks for storms that I have weathered. Thanks for all thou dost supply. Thanks for pain. Thanks for pleasure. Thanks for comfort in despair. Thanks for grace that none can measure. Thanks for love beyond compare. Thanks for roses by the wayside. Thanks for thorns their stems contain. Thanks for home. Thanks for fireside. Thanks for hope, that sweet refrain. Thanks for joy. And thanks for sorrow. Thanks for heavenly peace with thee. Thanks for hope in the tomorrow. Thanks through all eternity. That's quite a list. Our small care group has been developing a top 10 list of things that we appreciate. It's the season for humble gratitude. In his writings, Pastor Chuck Swindoll adds, "My favorite holiday, Thanksgiving, is upon us. As I've said for years, it's Thanksgiving, not Thanksgiving. So let's go there. Now is the best time of year to give thanks, to count our blessings. Have you counted yours lately? Allow me to prime the pump. Start with broad categories, such as family members and close friends and fellow Christians who help take the sting out of life. Tell the Lord how thankful you are for each of these people. Name them one by one. Think of significant places you often find yourself at home and church and school and your car, service station and fitness center, even hospital rooms. You complete the list. Express your gratitude for each. And don't forget to give thanks for your health, your eyesight and hearing and taste and smell and touch. In fact, coming through the fellowship hall, the smell from that good food just really smells good. Fragrance. How easy it is to take sensory gifts for granted. Of course, there's clothing to keep you warm, sufficient food to nourish your body, a job that pays the bills, good books that stimulate your mind, laughter, tears. Many comforts undeserved, dreams that keep you going, memories that bring to light. And we dare not forget the Bible and those who teach it, music and those who sing it and play it, worship with others of the faith, and a few moments of leisure during each week to enable us to release our anxieties and gain fresh perspective and to watch the Seahawks and the Broncos win. And there's one more blessing that can easily be overlooked. One you may not have even considered. Chuck Swindoll reminds us, "I feel especially grateful for those unseen guardians who work overtime, who actually neither slumber nor sleep." That's right. I'm talking about angels, God's special messengers. What a busy year they've had. Think of all the accidents they've prevented and all of the little kids they've protected, all of the enemy assaults they have shielded us against. Motorcycle riders keep a host of angels on their toes, and so do kayakers and skydivers and firefighters and single engine pilots and fast drivers and rock climbers. I'm sure snowplow drivers are included in that list. Scripture speaks very clearly about angels. As the 13th chapter of Hebrews opens, we encounter a series of commands, and among them, do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. For by this, some have entertained angels without realizing it. Angels look and sound like one of us, but they're not human. They exist as supernatural creatures in and about heaven. They're frequently dispatched to earth in human form to bring encouragement, assistance, protection. If you've ever encountered the sudden appearance and or departure of an angel after receiving one's help, you're never the same. Chuck Swindoll relates this true story. Many years ago, some of our church's high school kids and their leader went up to a mountain climbing experience. And what began as a fun trip and relaxing time together led to a frightening experience. Up at that altitude, the temperature can drop rapidly, covering everything in a blanket of snow and ice in quick time. And that's exactly what happened. The ranges of the white peaks and slopes became beautiful scenes to behold. While taking in the breathtaking sights, the leader realized he had lost the trail, and the heavy snowfall had completely covered the path, and he did not want to, he didn't have a clue where they were or how they could get back to the main camp. His fears weren't helped by the realization that it would soon be sundown, and they were certainly not equipped to spend the night up on that craggy, wind-swept slope. The boys in the group became aware of their plight, which only intensified the leader's worries. In situations like this out in the wilderness, prayer flows freely. A dependence on God for rescue is not merely a convenient option. It's a foundational survival technique. As with men in foxholes, you rarely find atheists among lost mountain climbers. And while tracking through the snow, entertaining thoughts just this side of panic, they suddenly heard someone on the slopes above them yell down, "Hey! The trail is up here." And they glanced up, and to their relief, they saw another climber far in the distance. He waved to them and urged them to climb up to where he was if they wanted to get back on the trail. They realized if they had continued in the direction they were going, they would have been hopelessly lost. But they trudged up without hesitation and made their way up to the large boulder where the stranger was sitting. The climb was exhausting, but their relief in finding someone who knew the way back gave them an adrenaline rush. And finally they arrived. But to their surprise, the one who had yelled at them was nowhere to be found. Furthermore, there were no traces left in the snow that anybody had even been sitting on the boulder, nor were there footprints nearby. The trail, however, stretched out before them and led them back to safety. And the boys not only learned a valuable lesson about the wilderness, but confirmed their belief in encountering angels without knowing it. Perhaps you can think of several occasions in your own life where you've had what you would call a close call. Or how about one of your kids or friends? Can you remember a time or two that in some incredible manner they were shielded from harm or delivered from danger? God's special messengers dispatched from his heaven and often invisible but never impotent. As the psalmist wrote, "He will give his angels charge concerning you, to grant and guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands that you do not strike your foot against a stone." Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12. And then, writing of an individual who loves the Lord, he added in verse 14, because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him. A fascinating topic of conversation around your Thanksgiving table would be stories of how and when, of some surprising deliverance, some heaven-sent rescue mission occurred. It's amazing how many of us have stories to tell, but seldom take the time to do it. As we eat our meals and offer our thanks to God for his blessings, let's add that one more category to our list. Let's be thankful for angels. Doing so will strengthen our faith, and we could all benefit from that. Although this has been a challenging year in numerous ways, we have a very practical reason to look back over it with gratitude for God's protection and grace to each of us. This reflection sets in motion the right kind of mental attitude to take us the weeks ahead. In other words, a sustained spirit of humble gratitude will make the period leading up to December 25 an integral part of our Christmas season celebration. As we recounted when we began this message, we live in a world that's fraught with evil, one in which innocent people are gunned down as they go about their business, one whose world governments seem powerless to stop those who are intent to control through fear. But we cannot afford to end the year in frustration, and I, like you, have seen and experienced God's hand of protection and mercy, even in the toughest moments. So during this holiday season, let's pledge not to let ingratitude become our creed or cynicism our stumbling block. As we consistently remind ourselves of God's provision in our lives, the lives of our loved ones, the holidays will become a special time of spiritual enrichment, personal renewal, and genuine gratitude. Sometimes, though, it can be a challenge to give God daily praise and look for his hand, even when we have the knowledge of his love and faithfulness. And should you find yourself in such a situation, often the Psalms are a great source to get us back on track. Psalm 116 is an extraordinary expression of love addressed to God. How do I love thee, God? Is what the psalmist seems to be asking. In his answers, he sets forth several magnificent truths about God's goodness, his deliverance. Beginning at verse 1, I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my prayer for mercy, because he bends down to listen. I will pray as long as I have breath. Death wrapped me in its ropes around me. The terrors of the grave overtook me. I saw only trouble and sorrow. But then I called upon the name of the Lord. Please, Lord, save me. How kind the Lord is, how good he is, so merciful this God of ours. The Lord protects those of childlike faith. I was facing death and he saved me. Let my soul be at rest again, for the Lord has been good to me. The latter part of Psalm 116 was our scripture reading today. How do we love our Lord? We love him by counting the many ways he has been good to us. And as the psalmist did, by asking for his faithful endurance and endearing love, by sharing his goodness with others. What does God desire? Our humble hearts, our heartfelt gratitude. He wants us to be hungry for life, to treasure each day he entrusts to us, So let the wonder of the season wash over you again, and God loves you and me with every bit of his heart, to the extent that he gave us the very best gift, life itself, wrapped up in the form of his Son. It's this life, the abundant life that Jesus promised. And this is the true spirit of the season. So let's be humbly grateful. Selah.